ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 4 Chapter 24, Text 62. Kriya Kalapaihi Idam Eva Yoginaha Shraddha Anvritaha Sadhu Yajanti सिद्धये भूत इंद्रिय अंतः अंतःकरण उपलक्षितं वेदे च तंत्रे च ते एव कोविदाः क्रियाकलापैरिदमेव योगिनः श्रद्धान्वितः साधु यजन्ति सिद्धये भूतेन्द्रियान्तः करणोपलक्षितम् वेदे च तंत्रे च त एव कोविदाः। क्रियाकलापैरिदमेव योगिनः श्रद्धान्वितः साधु यजन्ति सिद्धये भूतेन्द्रियान्तः करणोपलक्षितम् वेदे च तन्त्रे च त एव कोविदाः। क्रियाकलापैरिदमेव योगिनः श्रद्धान्वितः साधु यजन्ति सिद्धये भूतेन्द्रियान्तः करणोपलक्षितम् वेदे च तन्त्रे च त एव कोविदाः। कलापैरिदमेव योगिनः श्रद्धान्वितः साधु यजन्ति सिद्धये भूतेन्द्रियान्तः करणोपलक्षितम् तन्त्रे च त एव कोविदाः क्रियाकलापैरिदमेव योगिनः श्रद्धान्वितः साधु यजन्ति सिद्धये भूतेन्द्रियान्तः करणोपलक्षितम् वेदे च तन्त्रे शत एव कोविदाः मताजी भूतेन्द्रियान्तः करणोपलक्षितः वेदे च तन्त्रे शत एव कोविदाः या कलापैरिदमेव योगिनः श्रद्धान्विताः साधु यजन्ति सिद्धये भूतेन्द्रियान्तः करणोपलक्षितम् वेदे च तन्त्रे शत एव कोविदाः क्रिया एक्टिविटीज कलापैः बाय प्रोसेसेस इदं दिस एव सर्टेनली योगिनः ट्रान्सेंडेंटलिस् श्रद्धा अन्विताः विद् फेथ् एंड कन्विक्शन् साधु प्रॉपर्ली यजन्ति वर्शिप् सिद्धये फॉर परफेक्शन भूत द मटेरियल एनर्जी इंद्रिया सेंसेस अंतःकरण हार्ट उपलक्षितम सिम्प्टमाइज्ड बाय वेदे इन द वेदास च आल्सो तंत्रे इन द कोरोलरीज ऑफ द वेदास च आल्सो ते Your Lordship, Eva, certainly, Ovidaha, those who are experts. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear Lord, your universal form consists of all five elements, the senses, mind, intelligence, false ego, which is material, and the Paramatma, your partial expansion, who is the director of everything. Yogis other than the devotees, namely the Karma Yogi and the Jnana Yogi, worship you by their respective actions in their respective positions. It is stated both in the Vedas and in the Shastras that are corollaries of the Vedas, and indeed everywhere, that it is only you who are to be worshipped. That is the expert version of all the Vedas. Purport. In a previous verse, Lord Shiva wanted to see the form of the Lord, which the devotees are always interested in. There are other forms of the Lord manifest in the material world, including Brahma and other demigods, and these are worshipped by materialistic persons. In the second canto, third chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that those who desire material benefits are recommended to worship different types of demigods. And in conclusion, the Bhagavatam recommends Akamaha Sarva Kamova मोक्ष काम उदारधी तीव्रेण भक्ति योगेन यजेत पुरुषम परम। श्रीमद्भागवतम सेकंड कैंटो थर्ड चैप्टर 10th वर्स। द डिवोटीज द ज्ञानीज हु आर नोन एज मोक्ष काम एंड द कर्मीज हु आर नोन एज सर्व काम आर ऑल एस्पायरिंग टू वर्शिप द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड विष्णु। इवन वेन one performs yajñas as stated here, kriya kalapaihi, he should always remember that the demigods are but agents of the Supreme Lord. Actually, the worshipful Lord is Vishnu Yajneshwara. Thus, even when different demigods are worshipped in the Vedic and Tantric sacrifices, the actual goal of sacrifice is Lord Vishnu. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 23, it is said, Ye pyanya devata bhakta yajante shaddhayanvitaha te pimameva kaunteya yajantya vidhipurvakam. Whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but is offered without true understanding. Thus, the worshippers of various demigods also worship the Supreme Lord, but they do so against the regulative principles. The purpose of the regulative principles is to satisfy Lord Vishnu. In the Vishnu Puran 3.8.9, the very same thing is confirmed. Varnashamacharavata purushena pahpuman Vishnur aradhyate pantha nanyat tattoshakaranam. Here it is clearly mentioned that the karmi, jnani or yogi, in fact everyone, worships Lord Vishnu if he is actually expert in knowledge of the Vedas and Tantras. The word Kovidaha is very significant, for it indicates the devotees of the Lord. Only the devotees know perfectly that the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is all-pervading. Within the material energy, he is represented by the five material elements as well as the mind, intelligence and ego. He is also represented by another energy, the living entities. And all these manifestations in the spiritual and material world combined are but representations of the different energies of the Lord. The conclusion is that the Lord is one and that He is expanded in everything. This is understood by the Vedic version, Sarvam Khalva Idam Brahma. One who knows this concentrates all his energy in worshipping Lord Vishnu. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। वंदेहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणी मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदान्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकम् आराध्य भगवान् व्रजेशतनयस्तद्धाम वृन्दावनम् रम्या काचिदुपासना गजवधू वर्गेण या कल्पिता श्रीमद्भागवतं प्रमाणममलं प्रेमापुमर्थो महान् श्रीचैतन्यमहाप्रभोर्मतमिदं तत्तदरहन परः हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगे राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण In this beautiful song sung by Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva is glorifying the Supreme Lord. And in this section, he speaks about his relationship, among other things, with the material energy. Earlier on, he has also spoken of his relationship or his identity with the Brahman, the impersonal effulgence, which is of course nothing but the effulgence from the personal spiritual body of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna's energies are diverse and numerous, and it is through these energies that Lord Krishna pervades the entire existence. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagat abhyakta murtina matsthani sarvabhutani na chaham teshtavasthitaha. He says, I am pervaded everywhere through my energies. Avyakta Murtina means in my impersonal form, and Srila Prabhupada explains the Avyakta Murtina phrase to imply the diverse and numerous energies of Krishna, which are also non-different from Him. So Krishna is pervading the entire existence through His energies. And Matsthani Sarva Bhutani, everything rests upon me. Again, Srila Prabhupada explains that we should understand this to mean that everything is resting on Krishna's energies, in the same way that everything in the universe is resting on the sunshine, the planets, etc., are to be found in the sunshine. Similarly, everything in existence is resting upon Krishna's energy. Matsthani sarvabhutani. And lest we misunderstand this to mean that because Krishna is all-pervading and everything is resting upon Him, that He has lost His personal existence or His identity, Lord Krishna says in the last part of this verse, Na cha aham teshu avasthitaha. That because I'm all-pervading, it doesn't mean that I've lost my personal existence. Rather, I, even though everything is in me, but I am not in them. And what does it mean that Krishna is not in everything, even though everything is in Krishna? Srila Prabhupada explains in the purports to those verses in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is aloof from everything. Even though everything is in Krishna, everything rests upon Krishna, still Krishna is aloof from everything. So everything is Krishna, but everything is also not Krishna. So we have to understand it like that. If one will make a statement like everything is God, but God is not everything, needs a little explanation. Everything is God. This is a statement that is likely to be misunderstood if it is not qualified or explained properly. Everything is God in the sense that everything is God's energy. Everything is resting upon God's energies. There is nothing independent of or separate from God. God includes everything. There is nothing in existence that is outside of God. So therefore we say everything is God, but we have to qualify it by saying that God is not everything. Meaning that because God is spread everywhere in the form of His energy, and because there is a sense of identity of oneness between His energies and Him, it doesn't mean that we can accept any part of His energies and worship that as Him. In other words, that is not the proper way to worship Krishna. Srila Prabhupada used to speak about one famous sadhu in India who used to advocate this philosophy that everything is one, all paths are one, and therefore you can even worship the water buffalo and you can come to the same conclusion. But the Vaishnava understanding is not like that. The Vaishnava understanding is very clear that even though Krishna is one with His energies, He is simultaneously distinct as well. He retains eternally His distinct personal identity, form, qualities, names, and so on. There are many, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, who wish to worship the Lord in His diverse material forms. What does it mean by Krishna's diverse material forms? Prabhupada clarifies that he's talking about the demigods and so on. The demigods are also forms of Krishna because they are Krishna's energy. So in that sense, they are one with Krishna. However, that doesn't mean that we should worship the demigods. Prabhupada quotes this verse in the purport, Yepyanya devata bhakta yajante shaddhayanvita te pimameva kaunteya yajanta vidhipurvakam. He says that there are those who worship the demigods with faith, who worship other gods, anya devata, yajante shraddha anvitaha. They worship these other gods, meaning the demigods, with faith, but know for certain, O Arjuna, that they are worshipping only Me. Now this is a surprising statement. That when somebody worships the demigods, he is worshipping only Krishna. And this is Krishna's own statement. But then there are two other words that Krishna says after that. He says, avidhi purvakam. Yes, those who worship demigods are worshipping me, but they are doing so improperly. It is not the correct way to worship me. Let's give a simple example for this. We want to eat some food. So we take the food in our hand and we want to feed the body to keep it nourished. Now, somebody may try to put the food through the ears. It is not wrong to say that he is trying to feed the body. He is feeding the body. When he puts the food through the ears, he is indeed feeding the body. But that is not the proper way to feed the body. Even though the food is being attempted to be fed in through the ears, but it's not going to satisfy the body. So similarly, the demigods are limbs of Krishna, they're energies of Krishna. And even though they are being part of Krishna because we are worshipping Krishna when we worship them, but that is not the proper way to worship Krishna. Another example given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. When you water the root of a tree, then the water automatically gets transported to all the different parts of the tree. But if I water the branches of a tree, it's not wrong to say that I'm watering the tree. I am indeed watering the tree. When I put the water in the branches, because the branches are a part of the tree, so when I water the branches, I am watering the tree. But that is not the way to water the tree, because it will not satisfy the tree. So because the demigods are part of Krishna, to worship them is also worship of Krishna, but it is not the proper way to worship Krishna, because Krishna is not satisfied with such worship. Krishna wants us to recognize that he is a person, a transcendentally supreme person, who wants our love and our service. And this is what devotional service is all about. So the devotees of the Lord do not worship the material forms of the Supreme Lord, the demigods and so on. They also do not worship the impersonal spiritual form of the Lord. Prabhupada talks about the two kinds, or the verse rather, talks about the two kinds of people here. And Prabhupada also explains that in the purport. Those who follow the path of karma, those who follow the path of jnana. Those who follow the path of karma worship the demigods. And those who follow the path of jnana, they worship the impersonal Brahman. So the devotees of the Lord do not even like to worship that aspect of the Supreme Lord, even though it is spiritual, it is beyond matter. Still the devotees do not like to worship that. So the devotee prays in the Ishopanishad, Hiranmayena Patrena Satyasyapihitam Mukham Yattam Pushana Papavrinu Satyadharmaya Drishtaye. O my dear Lord, your impersonal effulgence is very glaring and blinding. So please remove this veil of this blinding effulgence and reveal your beautiful lotus face so I can see that. So the devotee wants to see the beautiful form of the Lord. He wants to meditate on that. He wants to serve that form of the Lord. So the devotees are not even interested in the spiritual but impersonal aspect of the Lord. In this way we understand that the multifarious aspects of the Lord's existence are there. And the pure devotee knows what is what the different forms are. Even amongst all the Vishnu Tattva forms which the devotees worship, there is a difference, although there is certainly a oneness, they are all one and the same, but there is still some transcendental difference between them. And according to the different moods of the devotees, they worship these different forms of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada opens the purport to the verse for today by referring to an earlier verse in this passage, which is mentioned by Lord Shiva in this song. It's a well-known verse actually. Darshanam no didikshunam dehi bhagavatarchitam rupam priyatamam swanam sarvendriya gunanjanam. Lord Shiva says, O dear Lord, darshanam naha didikshunam. We want to see a certain form of the Lord, rupam. Dehi, kindly exhibit that form, bhagavatarchitam. Which form of the Lord is worshipped by those who are Svana, who are your own people, Priya, those who are dear to you. So we want to see that form of yours which is worshipped by those who are very dear to you, which means the devotees of the Lord. So these forms also are innumerable in the Vaikuntha planets. There is no limit to even the spiritual forms of the Lord. So the question arises, why are there so many forms of the Lord? Doesn't it get confusing? It would have been simpler if there was just one form of the Lord and everybody was to worship that one form of the Lord. The answer lies in individuality. Krishna is an individual. The jivas are also individuals who are part and parcel of Krishna. They also inherit, so to speak, the individuality of Krishna in minute quantity. Individuality means you like one thing, I like another thing. You like to do something in one way, I like to do something in another way. Even though we may want to worship Krishna, we may want to worship in different ways. Yesterday, His Holiness Bhanu Swami was giving the example of the Vaidurya gem. It's a very nice example. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gives this example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in his discussions with Venkata Bhatta. This verse is from the Narada Pancharatra, and he says, Manir yatha vibhagena neela pita adhi yutaha rupa bhedam avapnoti dhyana bheda tathachyuta. He said, just like the Vaidurya jewel or the mani, the stone, depending on the different substances it comes in touch with, it assumes different colors like neela. Neela means blue, pita means yellow, and so on. In the same way, rupa bhedam avapnoti dhyana bhedat tatha achyuta. So depending, O Achyuta, O Krishna, on the varieties or differences in dhyana or meditation of the devotees, you also manifest yourself in varieties of forms, rupa bheda. So the different forms of the Lord exist because different devotees have different moods or different mellows, different meditational ecstasies on the Lord. One devotee prefers one form of the Lord to worship in a certain bhava, a certain mood. Another devotee prefers another form of the Lord with another bhava. So the Lord kindly obliges. And He takes on as many forms as there are meditational moods of the devotees. And because the devotees are innumerable, infinite, so the Lord's forms are also innumerable, in fact infinite. And the Lord reciprocates exactly as per the mood or the meditation of that particular devotee. So Lord Shiva says, I want to see you in that particular form that the devotees worship you, which is a personal form. The devotees don't like to meditate on the material forms or even the impersonal spiritual form. In the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we see Arjuna asking Krishna to please reveal His universal form. But Srila Prabhupada explains that this is for our benefit. for the benefit of the conditioned souls of this world, who may doubt the supremacy of Krishna, who may doubt that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Arjuna is an eternal associate of Krishna. In one very interesting letter, which I came across some months ago, even I did not know this before, Prabhupada mentions that Arjuna is Krishna's eternal associate in the material world. And wherever Krishna goes, Arjuna is perpetually appearing with him in the material world. So he remains always in the material world, appearing with Krishna, wherever Krishna appears. So how can Arjuna, the eternal associate of the Lord, want to see a material form of the Lord? The universal form is, after all, a material form. But Prabhupada explains that's because Arjuna is playing a role. He is facilitating or helping in Krishna's pastimes. Krishna has to speak the Bhagavad Gita. And therefore, Arjuna is helping Krishna to do that by playing the role of an ignorant person who doesn't know, who is bewildered. So the devotees meditate upon all these beautiful forms of the Lord, and then they experience great happiness. Then Prabhupada, the verse for today mentions that it is only Krishna or only Vasudeva who is to be understood or worshipped through all these different activities, whether it's the karmis or the jnanis or anything like that. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also, in the first canto, it is explained that Vasudeva is the goal for everything. Vasudeva Paraveda. He is the goal of all Vedic knowledge. Vasudeva Paramakaha. He is the one to be obtained as a result of performing various Vedic sacrifices. Vasudeva Para Yoga. The object of performing Ashtanga Yoga is to obtain him. Vasudeva Para Kriyaha. All the fruitive activities that we perform are rewarded by Krishna alone. Vasudeva Param Jnanam. He is Supreme Knowledge. Vasudeva Param Tapaha. He is the one who is sought to be obtained as a result of the austerities performed. Vasudeva Paro Dharma. Topmost dharma or religion means to serve him and to love him. Vasudeva Param Gatihi, that he is the ultimate destination. So it is ultimately only Krishna who is to be worshipped, who is to be obtained by all endeavors in life. And among all the different forms of Krishna, there are three that are most important. This is mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami in the scripture called Laghu Bhagavatamrita. In this book, Rupa Goswami mentions so many different types of expansions and avatars of the Lord. The Manmantara avatars, the Leela avatars, the Purusha avatars, and so on. And having concluded his description of these forms, he now starts speaking about what he calls the Paravastha forms of the Lord. Those which are supreme or the most important forms amongst all these other forms of the Lord. And the three forms that he mentions in order of increasing importance are, number one, Lord Narasimhadev, number two is Lord Ram, and number three is Lord Krishna. So in what context does he mention these three forms? He says that basically, even though all forms of the Supreme Lord are identical to each other, they are potent, they are transcendental, complete and perfect. Yet, there is a differentiation that is made in these different forms of the Lord according to the degree of potency that they exhibit. The word potency, Rupa Goswami explains, doesn't mean only strength. Potency means not just strength but also opulence. It means mercy, it means sweetness, it means beauty, and so on. So the different forms of the Lord display these various potencies to different degrees. And according to the degree to which these potencies are manifested, that particular form is considered more or less complete compared to other forms of the Lord, even though all these forms are one and they are all perfect and complete. So because Krishna is the form in which the Lord exhibits maximum, complete sweetness, complete mercy, complete perfection of His potencies, so that form is considered the most complete form of the Supreme Lord. Rasena utkrishyate Krishna. Yesterday also Bhanu Maharaj was talking about how the Krishna is different from even Narayana, because there is a difference of rasa. There is a nice conversation between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and a devotee called Raghupati Upadhyaya, which appears in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Raghupati Upadhyaya comes to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu, understanding him to be a pure devotee of the Lord, gives him his heartfelt blessings by saying, Krishna Mati Rahu, may your consciousness be always absorbed in Krishna. And they have a discussion about Krishna for some time. Mahaprabhu is very pleased with Raghupati Upadhyaya. And then he begins to ask him many questions. And Prabhu kahe, Upadhyaya shreshtha manokai. My dear Upadhyaya, please tell me, what is the supreme form of the Lord? What is the best form of the Lord? And then, Shyamam eva param rupam kahe Upadhyaya. This is the reply of Raghupati Upadhyaya. Among all the different forms of the Lord, Shyamam eva param rupam, the form of Shyam or Krishna, is the best. So now the question may arise that Krishna has so many different forms. So then, which is the particular form that is important? So one has to clarify his address, his telephone number, and so on. So then further Mahaprabhu asks him, Shyam Rupir Vasasthana Shreshtha Manakar. You're saying that this Shyam Rupa is supreme, but which among, in order to clarify the particular form of Shyama or Krishna, he says, which abode of this Shyama is the most supreme? Puri Madhupuri Vara Kahai Upadhyaya. So he says, Madhupuri or Braj Bhumi, Braj Mandala, Vrindavan is the best abode of the Lord. And then to clarify further, because even in Vrindavan, Krishna appears as a child, and then he grows up to Pauganda, he goes up to Kaishora. So which is the best form? So Mahaprabhu again inquires, Balya Pauganda Kaishora Shreshtha Manakai. Among the three ages of Balya, which is childhood, Pauganda, which is boyhood, and Kaishora, which is adolescence or pre-youth, which Upadhyaya do you think is the best? And then he replies, Vayaha Kaishora Kam Dhyayam Kahi Upadhyaya. So the age of Krishna to be meditated upon is the age of Kaishora, adolescence or pre-youth. So Mahaprabhu is extracting from Raghupati Upadhyaya the essential characteristics of that one most worshipable supreme form of all the other forms of the Absolute Truth. And then finally, Mahaprabhu says, Rasaguna Madhye Shreshtha Manakai. Among all the different rasas that exist, which is the best? Adhya eva paro rasaha kahai upadhyaya. The adhya rasa, the shringar rasa or the madhurya rasa, is the best among all rasas. So So then Mahaprabhu is extremely pleased. Bhala tattva shikhayala more, he says, oh, you have taught me some very nice truths, O Raghupati Upadhyay. Thank you very much. And Mahaprabhu is so pleased that he takes these four answers of Raghupati Upadhyay and he makes them into one verse and then he chants it. Shyamam eva param rupam puri madhupuri vara vayah kaishorakam deyam adyeva parorasaha. The meaning of this verse is that Krishna is the supreme form among all the forms of the Lord, and this form has as his residence Vrindavan, Goloka. The best age on which we should meditate for this form of Krishna who lives at Vrindavan is the age of Kaishora or adolescence, and the best mood or the rasa in which we can serve this Krishna, this form of Krishna, is Adhi Rasa or the Madhurya Rasa. So this is our Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. And because even in the Madhurya Rasa, Srimati Radharani's love is the greatest, to relish that love of Srimati Radharani for that supreme form of the Absolute Truth, Krishna himself comes in the combined form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Therefore, amongst all the other aspects of the material and spiritual forms of Krishna, the spiritual forms are supreme. Among all the spiritual forms, Narasimha, Ram and Krishna are supreme. Amongst all the forms of Krishna even, in all the ages, the adolescent form of Krishna in Vrindavan and his worship in the Madhurya Rasa is the greatest. This is our Siddhanta. So it's 8 o'clock now and we will end here. Thank you very much. Sorry, there's no time for questions. I think we have darshan now. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.